Well, hello and welcome to church. It's a bit different today. Can you hear me? Can you hear me down the back? Can you hear me? Great to see you all out today. And can I remind you again that if you haven't come from the same household, make sure you're practicing social distancing and there is at least a meter and a half between you and the person next to you. If you can reach out and touch that person next to you and they're not from your house, you are too close. We've got plenty of space. Hopefully the shade will come. So I am just so encouraged that you've all come out today to worship God and to meet together as believers, as Christians have done for thousands of years. This is the Salvation Army has said, based on the regulations, you've got two choices for your services across Australia. You can not meet or you can meet outside. So we have a beautiful chapel. So we thought, why not make use of that? Now, having said that, things are moving pretty quickly, and it might come to pass that this is the last time we get to meet as a community for a time. I hope not. I hope that we will still be able to meet outside for many weeks and months into the future until something happens, because things are unfolding, and we take advice of the government, and we take advice of people who are in positions of authority as far as health decisions go, so we're completely guided by them. But it's good to see you here today, and I'm also really encouraged by that. We're going to ask, we're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to read the Bible. Derek's going to bring the word later on as we continue our journey with Jesus theme. And we're going to have a great time of fellowship together this morning. Let's just open in prayer. Father God, we thank you today for this beautiful day. We thank you that we can meet together as believers. We thank you that you love us and care for us, and that your hand is over us. And you cover us. You hold us in the palm of your hand. As we meet together today, as we praise and worship your name, dear Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will give us a sense of peace and purpose and calm amidst the craziness that happens outside. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first song today is going to be Holy, Holy, Holy. I'm going to invite Sess and Derek to come and sing. And I'm going to go on the guitar with Brittany. And Let's stand and sing, see how that works.
Sinful man like going to share together in a time of prayer, and our first focus is Thanksgiving. As we begin our worship, we do want to offer our thanks to God. And I'm going to read some selected verses from Psalm 136, and I invite you to respond, "His love endures forever." Right, so I'm going to read a verse, and then if you will say, as an offering of praise and thanks to God this morning, "His love endures forever." Selected verses from Psalm 136. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
Love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
Love endures forever.
Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully. Give thanks to him who acted with a strong and powerful arm. Give thanks to him who parted the Red Sea. Give thanks to him who led Israel safely through. Give thanks to him who led his people through the wilderness. Give thanks to him who remembers us in our weaknesses. Give thanks to him who saved us from our enemies. Give thanks to him who gives food to every living thing. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Love endures forever. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, the last part of the verse, it says, "You have not, because you do not ask God for it." And so I want to say to you this morning, what do you ask God for today? Would you like to just call it out, some of you? What do you ask God for today? And remember, he will hear. Healing.
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Peace. Protection. I'm not hearing them all, but keep going.
Grace.
Grace, love. Thank you. I wrote down some, but by your calling out this morning, the Lord hears you. And these challenging times, we pray for good health. We pray for protection. We pray for courage. Pray for his presence to go before us. And we offer these prayers in the name of Jesus. Secondly, who do we pray for? Call it out. Who do we pray for now? Mothers? Everyone? Neighbours? The world? Family? Government? Peace, coronavirus victims, healthcare workers, hospitals, those who don't know the Lord. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, you've heard the prayers of your people poured out in this chapel this morning. And we pray for world leaders. We pray for our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and his government. We pray for researchers to find a cure. We pray for doctors and nurses, the hospital and all of their staff. We pray for the lonely and the afraid. We pray for family members, our neighbours, our community. We pray for all who work for the Salvation Army at this time, feeding the homeless, helping the addicted, serving meals, visiting. Protect our workers, for we realise, O God, that in these days, our ministry, which is your ministry, is needed more than ever. Yes, Lord, who do we pray for? We pray for these and many more in the name of Jesus this morning. And a final focus in our prayer time this morning. When Tim asked me to lead this morning, Psalm 136 came to me first, and then the second thing that came to me was the great hymn of the church. What a friend we have in Jesus. And what does it say? I remind you of it this morning, not all of it. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. But how true. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What about the second verse? Is there trouble anywhere? Sure is. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And then in the final verse, are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Saviour is still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the reminder this morning through this great hymn of the church. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We do that now. We thank you for this gathered community. May we have fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as we worship here today. May we bring encouragement to one another, and may we be challenged and helped on our journey as a result of our worship. This prayer I offer in your name. Amen. And then finally, some verses from Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank him for all he has done. Thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
Jess is going to come and read for us now from Psalm 33, 16 to 22. And straight after that, Ray's going to come and lead us all in a corporate prayer. Now, this prayer was put together by the Churches of Australia. And they actually have asked every Christian across Australia to pray it, I think it's at 7 o'clock every night.
And 9 o'clock in the morning, twice a day. So if you take tablets twice a day, pray your prayer over your tablets. And for the world. So Jess, thank you.
Gonna have to use that one. That's just for show.
The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. And that's in Psalm 33:16-22.
Gracious God, we give thanks anew for your providence and presence. We prayfully seek your grace amidst COVID-19 here and overseas. We pray for those in need of healing. We pray for the peace with those who are anxious or grieving. We pray with you will continue to strengthen and sustain all those who are serving and in response. We pray for the Holy Spirit discernment amidst the many choices and decisions facing our nation's community and medical leaders. We pray we each might see quickly what more we can do to help those who are vulnerable. This prayer for our nation, in the family of nations, with all that is on our hearts, we gather now and pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Ray. Now, the reason why we have two microphones is because Gary is videoing this and he wants to get some sound. And if we're able to continue to meet outside, for those people who aren't able to come, we're hoping to have a ministry where people can get a copy of a DVD of the service and watch it through the week so that they can still feel like they're a part of us. So that's why we have the two mic things. And Derek will be wearing a Madonna mic, that's what Gary calls it. So I don't know whether he's going to strike a pose later on. We'll just have to wait and see. I'm sure it will be great. Just a couple of really quick announcements. You'll probably have realized now that pretty much anything indoors corporately is off. So all our normal sort of activities are suspended. We are still doing Connect in some form or other, emergency relief for people. And our Tuesday night dinner is going to have some sort of takeaway format, which we're still working our way through. But pretty much everything else is just on hold for the time being, as I trust you can understand. Now we are going to be waited upon for our offering. And I think what we've decided to do is Kathy's going to walk around with the bag so that you don't pass it. And while that is happening, we're going to play a song for you, which is I Will Run to You. I Will Run to You. Thank you.
Speed.
self-denial. We're still. This is our last week of self-denial, and next week was supposed to be our appeal. So again, I don't know how that's going to work, but we have envelopes, I think, over there. So if you don't grab one today, we're going to post them out, and we're still going to have our offering next week as per normal. And just to remind you of our audacious goal to help people in other countries in need, $32,000. So that is still on the table. We'll just see how that goes. But we know we're trusting that God will continue to keep people generous and to look beyond themselves, especially at this time. I'm going to share a quick story to you, with you, I think, about, maybe it's on another piece of paper. Hang on a sec. About the story this week was about a man who lives in Greenland, and his name is Malachias. Now, Malachias was a fireman, and he lived in Greenland, which is a very cold country. The average temperature is below freezing. Most of the country is covered in ice, and he was doing quite well. Then he hurt his back. He lost his job, and the social security system there, not so good. So he found himself out of work and homeless. And homeless is a significant issue in Greenland. Now, he'd heard stories as he was growing up about people freezing to death in the street, but he never thought it was going to be him that was going to be one of those people who was going to have to be homeless. Now, the Salvation Army, very recently, only in 2012, has come to Greenland, and the government of the day said, we would like you to help out with our homelessness crisis. Now, Malachias' sister said, you really need to reach out to these guys. And he said, I don't really want to. The Salvation Army, they're a strange lot. But eventually, he decided that he would, and he turned up, and they were able to help him in his particular situation. And then he felt, once he got his feet on the ground, that he could help others. And so he helps out at a cafe, a shelter that's called Williams Cafe in Nuuk, which is the capital of Greenland. And they provide meals, a warm place to stay, and a welcoming community in Greenland. And they serve meals just like we do. Over there, but they don't have the same sort of resources that we do to provide those meals and to provide that help. And the other good news about Malachias' story is that since he connected with the Salvation Army, he's also connected with God, and he now has a faith in God, which is, you know, fantastic that someone looking for physical help has found the spiritual need fulfilled in their life. So just to give you a rough idea, $1,000 in Greenland provides about a month's worth of heating. They don't have issues with air conditioners. It's the other way around over there. Or a week's worth of warm meals for the community that they are serving in. So I'd ask you to consider that as we come up to our self-denial appeal, 1 week's salary on missionary service. I know we're all very focused on what's happening right here, right now, and that's perfectly understandable. But we also need to keep in mind that there are many people in other countries who are also suffering and probably in many worse ways than us. Karen is now going to come and read the scriptures, which you will also find on your handouts.
This is tricky, two mic thing. Good morning. I just also want to let you know there are a few people asking about what about this, what about that. At the end, if we have a time of just if anyone's got questions or you want to ask something or suggest something at that time, we'll have some time to cover anything else that you might not have got. And if you're in the sun and you need to move, please do. Don't get sunburned. I want to read this verse. We're looking through journeys with Jesus, and this is one of the journeys that we're going to look at, and Derek's going to talk about today from John 9, 1 to 7. Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him. wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and he washed and he came home seeing. Amen.
Have you ever thought the world's going a little crazy at any time? Not recently. Is this working? Can you hear me? Good. Last year, about this time when I was preaching, we had some horrible stuff happen at the school I work at, and Tim actually said to me at the time, Derek, I'm not going to ask you to preach anymore. Every time I do, something goes wrong. Well, we've really done it this time, haven't we? So, anyway. Last year, I believe Karen spoke on this verse when we did our encounters with Jesus. Is that right? Karen, did you speak about this? John chapter 9, verse 1. We spoke about the blind man in our encounters with Jesus. Today, we're going to look at it from a slightly different angle. What really interests me about this story is that when I get down to, I go a little bit further into the chapter, into verse 35. So the guy, he gets healed, and he goes, and the Pharisees are like, what happened? How did this happen? Who did this? And then they question his mother and his parents, and his parents, they're afraid. They're like, well, he can speak for himself. And there's a bit of a hoo-ha about why he was saved. And he finds Jesus again. Well, Jesus had heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I might believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. What I find really interesting about this story is that Jesus healed the man before the man even knew who Jesus was. So, I mean, it's a bit of a strange story. It's one of the few stories, there's a couple, but mostly when Jesus heals, it's because someone comes to him and says, will you heal me? I've got this problem. And usually it's as if Jesus doesn't really know what their problem is. He looks at their spiritual problem, not their physical problem. But in this case, because the disciples had made some judgments about this man, which weren't true, Jesus says, no, I'm going to show you who I am. And he heals this man. And then this man comes back later with his eyes opened and learns who Jesus is. So Jesus healed both his physical and his spiritual blindness in that moment. And that's really interesting to me. And if this Bible verse that we're looking at today, this chapter, it's taken from a calendar, a religious calendar that we use in the church called the lectionary, that we can go through, and it gives a whole bunch of verses that you can preach on any given Sunday. One of the other stories that one of the other Bible verses that it gives for today is from Samuel, and I think it's Samuel 3, if you want to look it up later. Samuel 3, I won't read it now, I'll just tell you the story. Samuel 3, if you want to look it up later. And it's for a bit of context into Samuel 3. The children of Israel said to God, we want a king. Everybody else around us has kings. And we're not really a nation until we have a king. And God goes, no, you don't want a king. It'll go bad. Kings, monarchies always go bad. And the children of Israel are, no, but we want a king. We need a king. And God's like, no, you don't want a king. And so then they're like, yes, we want a king. So God's like, all right, I'll give you a king. And guess what happened? It went bad. Now, before it goes bad, God says to the prophet Samuel, you need to go and find another king. You need to go and appoint the person. You need to anoint the person who I've appointed to take over from Saul when he goes crazy, because it's going to happen. And Samuel's like, well, I really don't want to do that. And God's like, no, you have to do it. So Samuel goes, all right, I'll go and do it. And he goes to the family of Jesse, who had a bunch of boys. He goes to where Jesse was doing his stuff. And says to Jesse, get all your boys for me. I need to look at them all. And he goes through them one at a time. And I get the impression that Jesse's boys were quite magnificent men. They were soldiers, they were warriors. And so he goes through all these young men one at a time, and he looks at them and he goes, no, that's not the one. No, that's not the one. No, that's not the one. And eventually he says to Jesse, have you got any more? And they're all like, well, yeah, there's one more, but like he's out, he's a bit of a runt. He's out tending the sheep. Like he's just a little fella. And Samuel says, well, let me see him. So they bring David in, of David and Goliath fame. David, who was the ancestor of Christ. David, who was one of the great kings of Jewish history. And they bring him in, and they're like, yeah, but he's just a runt. And Samuel's like, no, this is the guy. This is the one. And he anoints this weedy little boy to be the future king. Now, David hadn't killed Goliath yet. That happens in the next chapter. There was a whole bunch of stuff that happened in David's life. And I link this because I go, here again is an example of God working in the life of a young man who really doesn't know what's happening yet. Here is God anointing a man before it appears obvious who he is and what God has for him to do. And I put these two stories together and I think how important it is that we acknowledge that God works in our life before we acknowledge him. Now that's a story for those of us. We look back on our pre-saved days, right? We look back on our pre-commitment to Christ days and we go, yep, I can see where God was working in my life in those previous days. But I want to raise another story with you now as well. And that's this strange story I forgot what book it's in. Exodus. It's in Exodus. It has to be in Exodus. So Moses has just spent, he's been exiled from Egypt for some time. And he sees this burning bush. This is quite a famous story, right? We know the story of Jesus, of Moses in front of the burning bush. And he's in front of the burning bush, and again, he's arguing with God. This seems to be a theme in the Bible. Is it a theme in your life? It's a bit of a theme in mine sometimes, this arguing with God. And Moses is saying, no, God, I don't want to do this thing. And then he comes, they have this argument, and then Moses is like, who will I say sent me? Because God has said to Moses, I want you to go back into Egypt and free my people. And I want you to confront the Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses is like, firstly, your people aren't going to accept me and the Pharaoh's not going to listen to me. And God says, no, I want you to do it. And Moses is like, well, who will I say sent me? And he's like, I am who I am. And then he goes on to say this really interesting thing. I am the God of Abraham. And I am the God of Jacob. And I am the God of, who's the other one? Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. Now, here's what I find interesting about this story. Jacob's been dead for about 400 years by this stage. Jacob, as a young man, had been given a new name by God. Jacob struggled with God on a journey. And as a result of that struggle, God said to Jacob, you shall no longer be known as Jacob. You shall now be known as Israel. Now, this is important because the name Jacob means supplanter, one who comes after. It's not, in the Hebrew language, it's not a nice name. It's like usurper. It's like you take things that aren't yours. That's what the name Jacob means. But the name Israel means victory. Now, sometimes it gets translated as struggling, but it actually should be translated as struggled. And what it implies is that you had a battle and you won, or you had a battle and you survived. It actually means you are victorious. And on this day, where God is trying to convince Moses that he needs to go and do something, he doesn't say to him, I am the God of the victorious. He says, I am the God of the struggling. I am the God of Jacob. He doesn't tell him he's the God of Israel today, which is the victorious one. He says, I am the God of Jacob. He reuses that old name, which he does from time to time, and there's a number of different reasons why he uses that name. And I just want to remind us today that even though we have a new name, even though we've acknowledged who God and Christ is in our lives, don't we sometimes go back to our Jacob days? Don't we sometimes revisit those days before the victory was won in our life. And just like God worked in the life of the blind man before he acknowledged him, just like he worked in the life of David before David knew what was going on, he even works through us in our Jacob days. He is the God of our Jacob days, just like he is the God of our Israel days. When we're having bad days, when the world's going a little crazy around us, our God is still sovereign. He still loves us, and he's still there for us to lean on. As one of the things that I've been working on, and it's a little bit, I'm jumping off the Joseph thing here a little bit. One of the things that I've, one of the things I've been quite good at in my adult life is seeing the hand of God after a disaster's finished. Looking back at something that's happened and going, I can see the hand of God in that. One of the things I want to be better at is seeing the hand of God in the midst of the disaster. As we go through this crazy time, I want to see the hand of God at work now. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sin. Oh, what needless pain we suffer. You see, if I wait until it's all over, I've just made life more difficult for myself, haven't I? If I can see God in the midst of it, then I get to be part of his victories in it. There's a whole bunch of stuff that I don't have to carry myself. I was listening to a song this morning, an old songster song that we used to sing by Joy Webb. And then the last few lines of the chorus was something like this: amidst the confusion, there will be hope, there will be love, there will be God. Now we can wait till all this is over and then celebrate and see God in it retrospectively, or we can now turn our eyes towards Jesus and see him in the midst of it and be part of his victories. Do you want to come with me, Tim, and we'll sing "To Be Like Jesus"? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. To be like Jesus is a good one as well. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. And it doesn't matter what those things are. Earlier we sang a song, "Holy, Holy, Holy." And I love that song. It's one of my favorite. But the reason we sang it today was because of this line in the second verse that says, "Though the eye of sinful men his glory may not see." We need to see the glory of God in the midst of what's happening at the moment. We need to turn our eyes towards Jesus. As we do this, as we sing this song, we might just sing it twice, I think, Tim, just to give time. As we sing it twice, you do business with your God. What are the things that are on your heart at the moment which you're struggling to see the glory of God in? Maybe it's something simple like not enough toilet paper. Maybe it's something, we all have friends. Some of us are at high risk ourselves if this thing hits us. We all have friends who are in danger. I wasn't able to go and see Mum for almost 2 weeks because the nursing home is in lockdown. And now when I can, it's only rarely, and she doesn't know why I'm not coming to visit her. She thinks I'm just not coming to visit her. We all have those situations which are burning in our hearts. Bring them to your God as we sing, and try and see his glory in the midst of that space. His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Heavenly Father, I just thank you because while we sometimes don't acknowledge it, you are a God who cares and you are a God who is right here with us. And Lord, I just pray that you hear the prayers that have been prayed by people both consciously and unconsciously, that you look into the depths of our heart and you take those things which we don't even know how to communicate and you hear them. And that, Lord, you can settle our hearts. Give us a peace that you are in control. Give us a wisdom and discernment in this time so that we might make good decisions and that we might be a light in the world, that we might shine you to the people around us and we will be a beacon of hope and love so that not just us, but the world will say, amidst the confusion, there will be hope, there will be love, and there is God. Heavenly Father, this is our prayer this morning, and I pray that that you hear the earnest prayers of our community. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Joyful, joyful. We're going to sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. If you want to stand, stand. If you don't, stay seated. It's up to you. I have trouble singing this song staying seated, but that's just me and I can't sing sitting down. Have you got words?
Yes. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away.
Hallelujah. Let's go. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, God of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals join the happy chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
We're going to have a benediction now, and then if you wanted to hang around and ask some questions, we might just take it offline. And if you've got some things that you need to discuss, by all means. But I'm going to read to you from Psalm 91, which is a great psalm of confidence that God will deliver us. I'm just going to read the last couple of verses, but I would encourage you to go home and look up Psalm 91 if you haven't read it recently, and read through it and pray this prayer over your life. I'm just going to read the last three verses and I'm going to read from the Voice translation. Here it is. Because he clings to me in love, I will rescue him from harm. I will set him above danger because he has known me by name. He will call on me and I will answer. I'll be with him through hard times.
I'll rescue him and grant him honour. I'll reward him with many good years on this earth and let him witness my salvation. Amen. Bless you.